Wonderful to be back here in Pukekohe and see all your lovely faces. So we are hungry for God. How many people hungry for God?
Yeah.
There's just such a lovely sense that God is here and God is moving. And God wants to bring, like I sense, a real rest and a peace into people's hearts. How many people know that when you've got peace in your heart, you've got more room in your heart? Is that right?
Yes.
Because when you've got peace, trouble and anxiety, it crowds you somehow, your emotions. Yes. But when we have peace, and the peace of Jesus, it just gives us so much more freedom to dream, to be active, to take hold of things, and to be able to do things with a joy and a peace. And I've got a message for you today called On the Way. Okay, we're on the way somewhere.
Yep.
We're on the way to eternity, even though eternal life starts right now. We're on the way. And my husband, Bruce, is on the way to 65. And, you know, we're excited. This is the first time a birthday when getting older is exciting. Why is it exciting? You know. He's going to be a little bit richer every week. Isn't that good? And we can do with that. So that's great. So I'm going to bring a message about enjoying where I am on the way to where I'm going. Because it's so easy to get anxious about where we want to go that we forget to enjoy it. And I think your halftime celebration is part of that, that you pause, you take a break, and you celebrate what God has done so far. Traveling out to Pukekohe this morning, I did have an anxious moment because I've been before, and Jill gave me wonderful instructions, and I came first time, got straight here. But this time, you know how you second guess yourself, and I go past Pukekohe Jewellery. Like, yeah, I know not to go at the first one. But then it seems like a long time. I'm like, oh no, I've just passed Ramarama. Am I going to be over the Bombay Hills soon? So I felt a little anxious moment, but what a relief when I saw Bombay, Pukekohe, and I came straight on here. That was a relief. So I believe God is going to refresh people. You've talked about him being a strong and mighty tower and all those sort of things. And we look to the Lord and what we do, that beautiful song that they sing. But God wants to refresh us, and I believe he's going to outpour something on people today so you've got more strength to go further ahead. I remember when I was a child, we used to think going from Otaki to Wellington was a big trip. And my mother would always pack refreshments for the journey. And when I look back, it sounds terrible. I love egg sandwiches, so it was always egg sandwiches. But it was always cold mince pies. Somehow, we loved cold mince pies. And then my mum used to cook little brown, like Afghan cakes. And my father always called them kill me quicks. So it's like, you know, we would have some kill me quicks with my father's a character. Whenever I went for a journey with my father, he always made it fun. Our campground became the central hub of the camp because he would put up nets and we would be holding the championships. He'd call them the Mahara championships. And everybody would gather for competitions around our camp. So he made journeys fun. How about you? For Bruce and I, we love having coffees on the journey. How many people like to stop at a nice cafe, find a cafe with a bit of ambience? Is that your thing?
Yeah.
Okay, we all have different things. You can swap mics.
I can give you
one. Oh, okay, you can't hear me?
I think you might have clicked the
I'm differently able when it comes to technology. Whoopsie daisy. There we are. Okay, now you can hear me?
Yes.
How many like meals on an aeroplane? When you're going somewhere, they may not be the best of meals.
Oh, business class is great.
But, you know, it helps pass time, and it's almost like a welcome distraction. And what about shopping? How many people find that they can't shop on an empty stomach? Especially the male version. They turn into grumpy bears, growly bears, if they're hungry. You can't have a shopping expedition with an empty stomach. But you know, on the journey and even in our Christian life, we can sometimes feel drained, we can feel empty, we feel like we need a bit of refreshment because there's a depletion that's gone out because we've been giving away. And God wants us to refresh us. Oh, a statement just came into my head. Okay, if your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will become your downfall. Oh, did you like that? I think I got that right. Okay, that came from somewhere. Somewhere back in my journey. If your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will become your downfall. And you know, we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we need to know how to come and be refreshed. We see Jesus in John chapter 4. He got weary and he was needing to go to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. We know that. And it says in verse 6 that Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And we know that he asked a Samaritan woman for a drink. So Jesus got weary. He got thirsty. He felt empty. He felt drained. He needed to pause. He needed to sit by that well and have replenishment and have refreshing. We also see Jesus thirsty at the end of his journey. In John 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing or seeing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, I thirst. Verse 29 to 30, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he voluntarily gave up his spirit. His thirst was foretold in scripture. Here's Jesus at the end of his life with an incredible thirst. He was facing an agonizing death, loss of blood, excruciating pain, and highly inflamed words. And he speaks these words, I thirst. And I believe beyond a natural thirst, there was a thirst in his spirit. Because this was the darkest hour of his life, when he had to be separated from his father. His soul loved being in relationship. He had to be separated from the oneness that he had with God. He had to be separated from the very source of life. And Jesus cries out, even though they gave him that to drink on that sponge, I thirst. He was momentarily forsaken by the one that loved him the most. He felt most alone that he had felt in his life. And the weight of sin was bearing down heavy upon him. I thirst. You know, when the Bible talks about hell, it actually characterizes that torment by a violent thirst. And if you think of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar who used to sit on the rich man's doorstep, you know, when they both died, one went to heaven or into Abraham's bosom, and the other one went to Hades, the rich man. And the rich man is looking up, and in Luke 16, verse 19 and 31, this is just paraphrased, the rich man in Hades was begging Lazarus for a drop of water to cool his tongue. Come on, the torments of hell in Scripture are often characterized by a violent thirst. You know, and if Christ had not suffered for us, we would have been condemned to that everlasting thirst. Imagine having a thirst that could never, ever be satisfied. But we have Jesus who can satisfy our thirst. And Jesus' thirst on the cross was for reconciliation. You know, it was for the victory of God. It was for the glorification of God, that God would break the power of sin and death. So aren't you glad that you've got Jesus? He's the water of life. He's the one that wants to refresh our soul. He wants to remind us today to be thankful that I can come and drink of the waters of life. Today, psychologists put titles on things. And when they talk about children, they talk about some children who have a separation anxiety. And that's where that child does not want to be separated. It's, you know, a bit more than just want mummy. And it's like there becomes a real fear in them from being separated from the main attachment figure in their life. Do you know that is now being diagnosed in adults? You know, the fear of loss, the fear of separation, the fear of something happening to loved ones. There's almost a paranoia about it. And I just wanted to take that which they label in that way and apply it and basically say, not to disregard that, but to say basically people who don't know Jesus Christ live, though they don't know it, with a separation anxiety. Why? Because they're not attached to the main person who loves them most, who knows them best, and who can give everything to satisfy their soul. People are walking around empty, but they don't know that it's only Jesus that can fill their soul. And that's our job, to create a well. And as I thought about your church today, I see it like a well. You know, as a well that people can come to and go like, oh, I feel rest. There's a rest in the heart of this church that's going to minister to people with anxiety that are trying to fill their lives in many ways and may have even tried. But they're going to come to this place like a well. And it said, thus Jesus sat by a well. And you know, you've got something in the midst of you and in the heart of your leaders and the heart of the church that's going to water people's lives. It's going to be a flowing over out of what you draw. And we have to draw from the well of life to sprinkle over others. You know, sometimes we're like, well, I'm on a journey myself and I struggle. Guess what? We all do. We are still discovering that Jesus will meet every need. Sometimes we know that in theory, but God wants us to outwork it and to know it and to integrate it into our lives. So I'm going to talk today about how we can quench the thirst, how we can have joy on the journey, how we can tap in and find that source that God has promised. And sometimes we've got to say, well, if there's a little anxiety in my heart, have I moved from God? Because when we're truly with God, that anxiety dies down and we know that we are one with Him. You ready to go on this journey?
Yeah.
Okay. How are we going to do the journey well? How are we going to stay alive in this journey? And how are we going to keep well watered? I always think of songs, staying alive. I don't even know what the words are. I'm not a great listener to the radio, but I just get sort of like the main words and I don't know anything else about the song. I'd be saying something terrible for all I know. But not staying alive. Come on, we want to be vital.
Yeah.
I do. I don't want to be half dead on my journey.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see people who are looking like they're really laboring. Come on, God has given us everything we need. We need faith to pull it down. Okay, point number one, on your journey, let God order the food. You know, sometimes God wants to change the menu. And we're not always good at embracing change. You know, do you go into a restaurant sometimes and you're like, I've got it down pat, I know exactly what they're going to do, and then they change the menu on you, and I'm not so keen on that. I liked it how it was.
Yeah.
But guess what? God says, I want you to change. I want you to develop. I want you to add more, in a sense, onto the menu, because you're able to be able to digest it and to be able to integrate it and have a greater sense of what God can do. But often we protest, no, it's not the same. And I found in my life that God sometimes dishes up things that maybe I think I don't want. But I've heard God say very clearly to me, Helen, don't push the plate away. Because I like that, and I like doing that. Oh, but I'm not sure about that. Push. And God is sometimes asking me to do things that are beyond what I've done. He wants me to embrace change. He wants me to try something new. And sometimes like, no, I like the way old things that you fed me. And I push the plate away. And I've heard very clearly God said, don't push the plate away. Because these are the very things that are going to sustain you, take you into the new season, equip you to move forward in the journey and to have more joy than you would have ever, ever believed. You know, God changed the menu of the Israelites. They were coming out of bondage. They were coming out of slavery. And he wanted to give them a new diet. We know what he said them. What did God send them? Manna. Supernatural food. Man, sounds easy, doesn't it? It just landed on the ground. They only had to go out and get enough for today's supply, eat it, be sustained, then go out again the next day. But what did they do? They complained. And yet manna was the supernatural food that would have got them into the promised land. They would have been 11 days coming out of Egypt into the promised land if they had been able to follow and embrace the change that God had wanted. But instead, they complained And they even looked back and thought it looked better in bondage eating leeks and onion than going forward into the promised land. And I want to say to you today, let God order your food. And I think we get too selective and say, I'm going to stick with what I know. That suits me. But what say God wants to stretch you? What say God wants to take you beyond where you've been before? And, you know, they forgot that in Egypt, where they think, oh, we like the leek and onions, they forgot they were in bondage. Yeah. They were slaves. They were being driven. And yet they forgot that because they wouldn't take hold of it. You know, we can argue with God. We can think, oh, I know better. But we're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, amen, the author of our faith, the architect of our life, the visionary. Why wouldn't we want to follow him instead of going like, no, I like this? Come on, stop pushing the plate away and say, God, what are you dishing up for me? Because I know there'll be delight in it. Yes, it'll make, I'll have to have an appetite change. But God, I want to embrace it so I can go forward. And I believe God wants to tackle some confusion on people's minds. Today, I believe God just wants to drop things clearly on that plate, in a sense, and say, come on, this is what I'm dishing up. I don't know whether anyone's here has just lost a work contract and you're in between. But I believe God is saying that he's going to bring something about that's going to be even better than you had before. Sometimes we've got to learn how to let go and say, I'm embracing the new. I heard a speaker say, once we have no business going back to the place where we've been delivered from. And how many people go back to that place? And I know I've done it. Been delivered from a place of fear. And sometimes I find I've gone back there. We've got no business going back to where we've been delivered from. So develop an appetite for the season, you know, and surrender your choice to God. Otherwise, we're going to make the journey hard. Come on, try some new food, some fresh food, some supernatural food. You know, for years, I thought I hated coffee. And then to be social, I started drinking coffee at the age of 30. And I found that I developed an appetite for that, which I didn't previously like. In fact, I love coffee now, and I have to limit it to 3 small ones a day. But you know, it's in the agreement that, yeah, I'm going to blend with this God. If you said it, I say yes. And you know, coffee's all in the blend. And I think achieving supernatural things is all in the agreement of blending with God and saying, God, I'm willing to go on a journey. You know, I'm going to change my appetite to suit that which you're dishing up. What's God offering you on the journey? You'll actually find that you end up liking it. I've resisted a few. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Then I've stepped in with fear and trembling. And afterwards, I'm like, I'm glad. I discovered something. Yeah, it took a little bit of anxiety, but I stepped in. And I found that I enjoyed it far more than I would have thought possible. So don't be wise in your own eyes, Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be willing to follow. Isaiah 1, verse 19 says, if you're willing and obedient, doesn't mean to say you've got to have it all together, but if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many people want to eat the good of the land?
Yeah.
Come on, be malleable in the hands of God. Sometimes we've just got to let go our own preference, our own demands, our own smallness, because think, oh, yeah, that's all I can do. Yeah. That's all that God would want to do for me. Let your smallness go. And I know when we first came to Auckland, we had a house in Glenfield, and we know that God was calling us into the central city. And the central city was more expensive than Glenfield. But you know, I wanted to see something I liked before I gave the Glenfield house away. Now, that was just a stage I was at in my journey. It's like, this is a good family home, and this is a big city, and we've never been in a big city. But God spoke to me. He actually spoke to me from Jeremiah 18:6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter said, the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And God was saying to me, before you see it, let go. And we had to sell that Glenfield house before the other one became apparent. And actually, we got a great deal because we trusted God. We got a house that we liked. Yes, it was more expensive, but the owner left 2 years interest-free loan on it, and we were able to get into that house. I would never have discovered it if I hadn't have let go. What's up ahead of you if you let go? You know, and we've just got to be flexible. He's the potter and we're the clay. Does that make sense to you? God is always trying to pull us into something new. God's focus is always forward. Come on, the journey is forward, not backward. Number two is take the next step. And how often do we want to skip a step? You know, our appetite is to get there all in one go. You know, whether it's with business, whether it's with weight loss, you know, whether it's with our vision for God, we want to get there all in one go. You know, I think God knows that sometimes if he did it, and he's able to do it all in one go, we would not be as strong as we needed to be to carry it. So God will often make a process. Come on, it's one step after another step. That's it. Step doesn't make sense, but God, I'll follow because I know it's you. And we need to learn how to take one step after another. You know, to have a good marriage. You know, we have an ideal, but we've got to walk it out. And I love taking marriage courses because I believe in marriage. And this is the basis of what I use, but it could apply anywhere. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom, a house is built. Hearing the words of Jesus and acting on them. And by understanding, it is established. If you want a secure household, you want a secure marriage, you want a secure relationship, you've got to learn how to understand the dynamics of who each other is and what God has called and, you know, the different ways of expression. And it says by knowledge, which is the applied wisdom, we do it. It says the rooms, and I want the room of my life, I want the room of my marriage and my household to be filled with precious and pleasant riches. And sometimes that's going to take steps, small steps. But often we're trying to leap, oh, we've got the ideal, we've got the vision, and we try to get there all in one go. That's our appetite. I'm hungry for that. But God says, no, I want you to take one step after another, and you'll find that you're increasing ground all the time. So what's the next step in front of you? If we push it, we do ourselves an injury. And we end up sometimes somewhere where we don't want to be in recovery. But if we just go steadily along, I've pulled my hamstring muscle, so I know what it's like. I thought, you know, I was a ballet dancer, believe it or not. And I did a high kick into the splits and pulled my hamstring muscle. And as an 18-year-old girl, I thought it was a tragedy. I was never going to walk again. But, you know, we can push things and we end up doing ourselves an injury. In Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to 19, there were 10 lepers. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. He didn't say be healed, like he did in other situations. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. They could have thought, oh, that's a bit disappointing. We wanted it right now. And so it was. As they went, because they went in faith, they were cleansed. On the way, they were healed. Often we're like, God, deliver me, and he can. And sometimes something's happening just like that. Other times it's like, as you go in faith, as you follow me, and as you obey, someone's going like, oh my goodness, I'm not bothered by that anymore. I've left that behind. I feel free of my spirit. We're dancing. I've left it behind. It's as we go, but often we're like, oh, I'm disappointed. It didn't happen. Where's our perseverance to say, I'm going to keep following. I'm going to keep going forward. And as I go, God, I know that you'll heal me. Something changes within us and a capacity is grown. Little by little, God said that he would drive out the enemy. He's like, you put your foot down, I'll drive out the enemy, but I'll do it little by little. Why? Because they wouldn't have been able to handle it. And God often knows what we're capable of, and he says, little by little. But in the little, I'm becoming. I'm becoming more like he wants me to be so I can handle what he wants to deliver. So don't get stuck in the middle. And we see in the Bible, quite a few scriptures here, that the disciples were told to cross over. And in verse 47 of Mark 6, Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And we see in verse 48 that he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And Jesus saw that they were straining. He saw that they were in the middle of the lake. He saw that the winds were battering, and he came walking to them. They were afraid, thinking, who is this? But he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And I believe God wants to say, don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. And often we've got a promise from God, and we go, yeah, that's awesome. I really want it. And then when things get rough, or sometimes when the winds blow contrary, it's like, where are you, God?
Yeah.
But God wants to say, don't doubt in the dark what he's showing you in the light. Hold it and keep walking with it.
Yeah.
And allow him, in a sense, to take the strain off and to say, God, I'm going to trust you, even though often it may look like the opposite. John chapter 6 of that same story, in verse 21, he says, then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. That's pretty amazing. Probably seemed like all of a sudden they were there. And sometimes it's the land of our heart that suddenly needs to get it and be there. And immediately when you welcome Jesus into your boat, help God, it's stormy, I'm not getting anywhere, I'm struggling, I've heard, but I'm now doubting. Ask Jesus into your boat, and you watch how your boat will suddenly be where? On the land where it was going. Even if you're not there literally, you're there in your spirit. You're like, I've got it. How many people are getting it this morning?
Yeah.
Come on, we're on a journey, and we've got to get refreshed on the journey. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in those middle places. We find ourselves stuck. In 2 Chronicles 13, 13 to 16, there was an ambush, and Adonijah was going out to battle. We won't read it, you can look at it on the screen. And he thought that the enemy would be in front, but to their surprise, they saw the enemy all around them. And you know, it looked like a place of defeat. But what did they do? They cried out to God. And God came in and routed the enemy, and they won an amazing victory. You know, when you're ambushed, when you're stuck right in the middle, when you're surrounded by enemy forces and there's no way to move on your journey, cry out to God, because you stand on miracle land. There's impossible in the natural. You're covered. You're ambushed. You call out to God and you watch how God will give you an exit out. God has a way beyond man's way when we say, I'm going to carry on in this journey. God, I'm looking to you. God, I need you to break through right now. Maybe there's people here today, you need a breakthrough. And I believe the word is that God wants to break in into some people's circumstances and actually change them miraculously and give you the way forward today. Come on, we stand in need, but this is where God is at his best.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and God will often come in different ways to what we think. Sometimes God comes in, I call it the side door. Sometimes we have, I think, oh, God will answer me that way. We're so busy focused at the front door, how God should do it, that we forget that sometimes God comes in the side door. And I can tell you a story about my daughter in Sydney. There was a housing crisis, and through some sad situation, she has found herself alone with four children. And she was having trouble getting a house. And she was going to open homes, and because she's on her own with four children, naturally business people would be preferred. It was getting desperate. It felt like there's no way out of this. Felt like, gosh, this is impossible. But we cried out to God. And a house came available that nobody else applied for because it was only for 6 months. But Rebecca had no choice but to say, I'll take that house, because at least it was somewhere for her and the children. So she took that house. But you know, God had the next step planned. And there was a lady, a single mother on the other side of the road, and whose children were hardly ever there, and she was working. And as that 6 month came to an end, and Rebecca would be in that place again of, where next? This lady, who wasn't a Christian, said to her, would you like to move in with me? And you can have so many rooms, and I'll have so many rooms, it'll be cheaper rent and what have you. And so they moved in. And probably within about 3 months, this lady Susan, whose fiance wanted her to go live with him, moved out. And here Rebecca had a house, not through the normal channels, but through something that God orchestrated. Even the real estate firms, and even though she's got great references, you shouldn't have just been able to take it over like that. But it was like God came in the side door. And God looks after those who are his own. And you know, Bruce and I watched a documentary in New Zealand, and we go over regularly, but we were watching a documentary in New Zealand, and there was it was about the lack of homes to rent in Australia, and there were thousands at that very time homeless. They were staying in motels, they couldn't cope with them, and I thought, thank you God, in spite of that crisis, here's Rebecca, able to go in. It wasn't the front door, but she had to take that next step. And I'm telling you that because you might feel ambushed. But sometimes God's got to step. As we cry out to God and we say, we trust you, God will open the next step that will open to the next step and the next step and the next step. Yeah. But often we're like, if you don't do it all at once, God, then you've let me down. I don't trust you. But if we're calling out, we've just got to say, what's the door in front of us that we walk into? When you're stuck, that's miracle territory. In Exodus, when Moses leading the children of Israel, the Red Sea in front of them, God just said, lift up your staff. Come on, lift up that rod of authority. Focus forward.
Yeah.
And God created a miracle path which Satan couldn't get onto, even though Pharaoh and his army tried. And we've got to focus forward. And God wants to arrest some people from looking back. You know, you're looking back too much. Come on, there's a step. And maybe it's not in the front door. God's going to come in the side doors. You just step and you just trust and you just cry out to God. And I like what God said to Moses to tell the people, or Moses told the people, hold your peace. And maybe God is saying to some of you now who are panicking, hold your peace. Be still. In other words, sometimes close your mouth. Doesn't our mouth get us into trouble? You talk negative and it gets more negative and then it builds up and then it's bigger than it really should have been.
Yeah.
Hold your peace. Come on, you're a church that knows how to live in peace. You're going to be like that oasis, like that well, because you're going to know how to do the journey well. You're not going to know how to stop by the well. You're going to know how to have fun. And there's going to be a water of life that refreshes others. And we've got to learn to say, God, what's the next step? And I believe the Lord is showing you, I see a smile on your face, the lady in grey, that there is a step right ahead of you. And if you just are willing to take it, and sometimes it feels like, oh, but as you put your foot down in faith, you're going to take territory back from the enemy. That there is a territory that the enemy's had his foot on. But in a sense, as you put your foot on, you kick his off. And you're going to enter into a wide, spacious place. That the things that have crowded you in the past are not going to crowd you any longer. You're going to be able to find room in that place to play, to dance, to laugh, to spin around, because there's joy ahead of you. And it's in your conquest. As you put your foot out, you're going to displace the enemy. It's like you're going to knock him right on out. And God would just say he's opening your eyes. He's even giving you a spring of joy in your heart right now to say, I'm going after that. I'm not going to stall. I'm not going to delay, but I'm moving. And God would say, I'll refresh you on the journey. Don't you worry about refreshing. Don't you worry about running out of energy, because God is your supply. He'll be there whenever you call on him. He'll be there and he's going to do miracles that you're going to talk about. And God's going to amplify your voice and lift you up. In a sense, when others say, we can't, you're going to say, yes, we can. Because this is what God, and on the testimony that God gives you, you're going to lead many into that place of faith and trust. You're a good woman. And God just wants to pour more of his grace on you and through you. But just take the next step. Keep it simple. It's just the next step. I don't need to worry down the line. Take the next step. Hallelujah. Is that good? How many more people need to take the next step? Okay, and the last one is, a certain place could be our sacred place. And we see Jacob running. We are running, but he was running from fear. He was running from his brother. He was running because his mother said, Jacob, you've deceived your brother. You better get out of here, otherwise you're going to be killed. In Genesis 28, verse 10 to 13, it says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night. Because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of heaven were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I believe there's some people here, I just felt quickened, that you need to hear God say, I am. God is the I am that you need. We think, well, will this fix my problem? Will this help me? God wants you to know I am. And I believe the woman that's going back to the islands, God is going to increase your understanding of the knowledge of the I am of God. And you might find that sometimes you'll think, well, I am not, but my God is.
Yeah.
And you're going to know the I am, the God of miracles. You know, I am the God of healing. I am the God of the much more. I am the God who heals. And I believe you're going to know it in a whole new way. And it's like you're going to lift your head up and you're going to break ceilings, not only off your own mind, but you're going to ask other people, have you considered this? And as you speak about your God, there's going to come a heart and a thirst after the I am. And you know that God, and you're going to know in the sense that God never changes. And I don't know whether at times you've doubted that and thought, well, God, have you changed your mind? But God says he changes not. You know, his love, his grace, his mercy, as they were in the beginning, are still towards you. That you don't need to fear, you're going to prove over and over and over again, the I am. Every statement that God makes, you're going to actually, through life, integrate it in your spirit and know it with a certainty and with an assurance. I just believe God would say that to you. How about just right now? So I need to know the I am. He said to Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father and the God of Isaac. I am. God is your God. He would say to you, I am your God. I am the lover of your soul. I am your hiding place. I am your strong and mighty tower. I am the Lord in the midst of thee, and I'm mighty. I am. And Father, we pray that right now you'd press that into people's hearts, that all doubt would be, oh God, just dissipated and pushed off in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for a people of faith who will just, Lord, be reinforced on this stage of their journey and this day, Lord God, there'd be a reinforcement. And he promises Jacob, I'm going to bring you back to the land of which I've spoken to you. I'm going to get you to where you want to go, Jacob. Yes, you've deceived. Yes, you've done it the wrong way. But I am, and I will bring you back to the land. It's not gone. And if people are here and think their dreams are gone, they're not gone.
Yeah.
Because he is the God that has promised, and he is faithful to bring it about if we keep ourselves in line. Then Jacob said in verse 16 and 17, surely the Lord is in this place, yeah, and I did not know it. It was like he woke up, yeah, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven.
Yeah.
This place, a certain place, Jacob, stop. Where was that certain place where the sun had gone down? Where it was too dark to walk anymore. Maybe the sun had gone down on his dreams. Like, well, this is hopeless and this is different from what I saw. And Jacob lies down to sleep, and we can often want to sleep through a season. When God is saying, no, wake up, I'm here.
Yeah.
And you know, often good things are found in difficult times.
Yeah.
He put his head on a rock. That sounds pretty hard. Pretty desperate after coming from mama's house with fluffy pillows. And here's mama's boy out in the desert. And maybe the sun was setting on his dreams. And we can let the sun set on our dreams. And God was saying, no, I'm here. I'm the God of Jacob. I'll get you back to the place you want. Come on, there's something to explore here right now.
Yeah.
Don't think, oh, wait till I get there and then it'll be all great. No, there's great things on the way.
Yeah.
I found there's treasures in dark places. And we need to stay in the light. Come on, stay in the light. Keep our eyes open. Just trying to lighten the moment. Don't race to get through the seasons. Sometimes we sleepwalk through the seasons. I don't want to sleepwalk through the seasons. I want to be alert. I want to get it. Because I know I'm equipping myself. I know I'm putting some more weapons in my armory. I know I'm building capacity. I'm stretching that smallness that's inside me. And today God's going to say, come on, let's get smallness off us. Yeah. Let's say, I'm not going to sleep walk through this season. Yeah. This certain place might be my sacred place where I meet God. And I find out more being delivered into my spirit. I found key prayers, key prophetic words that keep me focused, sometimes in those difficult places. And so, and we've got to line up with what God is saying. Create a channel for God's blessings to flow.
Yeah.
Come on, dig out a channel.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm awake. God, you're here. And then God's supernatural blessings will flow. Psalm 105, verse 41, he opened the rock and water gushed out. That was in a hard place. And it ran in the dry places like a river. And I felt this was another word, especially for your church, and that God wants to make peace like a river.
Yeah.
So that it's flowing. And I can feel it in this place.
Yeah.
Come on, there's a river flowing. Isaiah 66, verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Don't you love that? I love the drive out. I looked at the creation and it's just like it refreshed my heart.
Yeah.
And God wants to refresh your heart. Will you create a channel where the river of God can flow? And he said, I'm extending peace. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have peace. If we can carry peace, I'm not talking about perfection. Of course, we have our moments. But we choose to eat what God's giving us. We can refresh the hearts of others. And so I just want to ask you, where are you on your journey? But God's saying, come on, get refreshed. Keep going. And I love it that Jesus continually breaks in. When the disciples were afraid in John chapter 20, Jesus comes right through the wall. Hello, I'm here. And he says, peace be with you. I'm here, I'm with you.
Yes.
Come on, God's with you. Even if you don't feel it, he's with you. But the more you acknowledge him, you'll feel him. But then he says, peace to you. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit and he sends them out with power. And just to wrap up right now, where are you on your journey? Are you enjoying the journey? Or are you trying to get there faster than you can? You know, are you being faithful to take the next step? Are you refusing what God's dishing up? Oh no, I don't like it that way. God always wants to challenge us about change. Otherwise, we get into a rut and lose the joy of it. Change challenges us, and then we enjoy it when we step in and we try it. Maybe you need to sit at a well. Maybe today you just know, yeah, I'm a little bit pooped.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit drained. God, I've got a wee bit out of kilter. My mind's got too busy. I talk about it like my motor's running a bit high. Yeah. Calm down. There's a lot of books out there. Calm down and eat a cupcake. Or calm down. Calm down and sit at the well.
Yeah.
Thus Jesus sat by the well. And while he was there refreshing himself, he refreshed the life of another person. He spoke into her separation, anxiety.
Yeah.
He spoke into her being disconnected, even though she'd had five husbands and the one she was living with wasn't. He ministered right into her world that satisfied, and she brought a whole village to Jesus. So in your sitting down doesn't mean an inactivity. It actually means a greater drawing that can have a greater effect, you know, to the people that are around about you.
Yeah.
Here's another one, let God order your food. Yeah. It's like, oh, God, you're calling me to do this. Go to London. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to push the plate away. I've heard you. I know it's you. But I've been blessed as I ate that food. I grew. I changed. Mm. You know, I had a different perspective. And that stood me in good stead for where I am today. Do you need to step it out like those lepers? God, I haven't got what I want, but yeah, I've heard the word, and as I'm going, I know that you're healing me. I'm getting freer. Maybe you need to open your eyes, and you feel like, I'm stuck, that's it, I'm stuck. And God said, no, this place, your certain place, can be a sacred place. If you're open, and you don't want to sleep through the season, but you keep your eyes wide open. And how about if we squeeze in, we'll go, oh, I can cry out to God. You know, God cries out for us, come on, receive.
Yeah.
We're so stubborn to receive when God offers us so much, and we're like, no, thanks. And in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out. He didn't just suggest it, he cried out. That was the earnestness in his heart that, you know, you don't need to do it on your own, you can be refreshed. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We're talking about rivers a lot today. We're talking about a flow. We're talking about God extending peace like a river. It's like, yeah, I want to be in that river. I want the river out of my innermost being to flow rivers of living water. Why would we choose stale when we can have fresh? Why would we choose old when we can have new? Why would we choose smaller when we can have greater? God has said greater works, and we've got to stir up our spirit and go, man, I'm getting refreshed today. I'm getting watered today. God, I'm going to stand up right where I am and give thanks where I am. I want to enjoy where I am on the way to where I'm going. God does not waste a thing. Even the difficult things he turns around, that can be huge in ministering to other people. How about standing to your feet right now? I know I say a lot, but hopefully there's something in there that's going to trigger something in your spirit. And I believe God's going to trigger something in your spirit, the man in the second row. And I don't know whether it's already gone off, but there's something going off in your spirit, and it's God. And I believe God wants to reassure you it is him. And it's like, don't be afraid to light it up. Because, you know, there is, it's like fireworks within you. And God's just in a sense reigniting that match in your spirit, that which is in you will become apparent to others, that you're going to light things up. And it's just as fireworks light up the sky, there's something within you that God wants to use to light it up, to draw people to Jesus. And Jesus would just say, keep going. Wherever there's been discouragement, wherever there seems to be a glitch in the way, God would say that he's greater than that. And as you focus towards him, as you just allow him to flip that match, in a sense, you're going to go off. And I believe that there's like inventions, there's dreams, there's creativity. And God will say, put your hand to it, my son, because it's me. And he's going to prove himself more and more to be the I am. And you're going like, yep, thank you, God. Your say-so is my say-so. And it's going to be a catchphrase. Your say-so is my say-so. As you're in agreement, you're going to see mighty things happen. How about we reach out to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we're on a journey. Lord, and the good thing is that we're not on this journey alone, but you're with us all the way, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Father, that we can enjoy it. Lord God, that even in the hard times, we can be excited that there's something great we can find which will propel us into the next stage, Lord God. Father, I thank you that on the way there are miracles. And there are encounters. And I pray for God encounters right now as people reach out. Come on, God, crying out for you. Come on, if anyone's thirsty, come. You know, to Peter and the boat, come. Father, I take off, in a sense, in the spirit, any footbreaks, any hesitation, any fear. Lord God, I pray you break in right now and say, peace be with you and peace to you, because I want to send you out. And even the refreshing in your own life is going to be as you refresh the lives of others. It's going to have that, in a sense, reverse cycle where it just energizes you. So, Father, I pray right now. Father, I break, Lord God, mindsets. Father, where there's things sitting on people. Lord, impossibility thinking. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord God, for you to break them. And if that's you, how about right now say, Lord, I renounce that spirit of impossibility. Good. That means we don't own it anymore. It's like, I don't own that anymore. And I think that's sitting on people. And today, God's going to actually lift it off if we believe. And we can just say, God, I trust you that you will do the impossible as I give myself to you today. Hallelujah. Father, I just speak release and relief right now in the name of Jesus. Lift it off. Father, Holy Spirit, lift it off right now. Lift it off. If you need to respond, just let it come off you and say, I'm out of there. That's spoiling my journey. I'm out of there right now. Father, I'm believing. for the impossible of God to become possible through Him. Father, I thank you that you're taking the weight off shoulders. Right now, if you're feeling tense, how about just shaking yourself right now? Just shake yourself. Come on, just shake yourself. God wants you to be free. God wants you to have the eye. Good. Great responsive congregation. Great. Get it off you. And now, Father, we're just praying for the peace of God. Father, a breathing in, even as we heard today, and Jill said, take a breath. That's what I just need to take a breath and just sit by that well. Father, and find refreshing in God that you're more than enough. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this week there will be miracles. Even now, miracles in situations. Turnarounds. And Lord, as I drove down, I just heard and you say, Lord God, that Father, even within the next few months, there's going to be 10 people who are going to come in who will all bring 10 people themselves. Father, it's like that multiplication effect, Lord God. So Father, we direct our hearts towards that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, refreshing. People will come in. They'll get refreshed. We will bring refreshing to 10 others each, Lord God. Father, we pray for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is where in that mode of prayer, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you know, the Bible, I said in my words, that you live with a separation anxiety because you've never come home to the one who created you, who died for you, who took your place on the cross for your sins. And you will always live with an emptiness of like, I don't know how to fill that. And the good news is today that Jesus reaches out and says, I want to fill that. I can reconcile you to my Father in heaven because Jesus died on your behalf. And maybe today you can feel the Spirit of God knocking at your heart and go, I don't want to do this journey any longer with this insatiable thirst. God, I surrender today. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come and live within it and fill me from the inside out. So if that's you today, how about just raising your hand, acknowledge, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it down. How many people here today say, yeah, I want to open my heart to Jesus. I want to live that full life with living water. Is there any person here today? Just pop your hand up. Maybe you all know Jesus here, but that's you. Just place your hand up. Father, we thank you that you're drawing people to yourself. Father, we thank you that you're drawing us, either for the first time, or Lord God, even if we know you, you're saying, come on, you're looking elsewhere for the source. Look to me. And Father, I just pray right now a tremendous blessing, a real peace to come. Lord, you're talking about rest, you're talking about peace. And Father, I pray that it will descend on the hearts of Pukekohe Church today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, that they know that they're called for such a time as this to be effective in watering souls in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
If you didn't respond and you may well want to still, how about finding someone to talk to afterwards? I guess after the service is finished, if you want prayer, you can come forward. And I know the leaders and myself are happy to pray with you. But God bless. Enjoy your journey. Say, I'm going to enjoy where I am on the way to where I'm going. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, Ellen. We're just going to sing to finish. And as we do, let's step into that flow out. The river's flowing right now. The river of revelation through Helen. The presence of the Lord. We're just going to sing Holy Spirit, welcome. Whoever's on the words. A Wairua Tapu, if we can put that up, that'd be good. Thanks, Tails. You'll have to lead us. Let's close our eyes and let's just make that full connection with the word that God's brought to us. If you received a prophetic word personally today, come on, just in your heart say, yeah, I'm going to take that. Thanks, God. I'm going to actually own that. I'm going to align myself with it. But we've all received a prophetic word today, eh?
Yeah.
Let's let it settle. Let's let it find a good landing.